to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. And our verses for today are 9 through 20. Genesis 42, 9 through 20. Going through the life of Joseph. Genesis 9 through 20. Chapter 42, 9 through 20. All right, let's read these through together in unison. Here we go. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, that it is what I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved, by the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go down forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together in the ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your house. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. All right, let's pray. Father, we praise thee for the time you've allowed us these last few weeks to study the life of Joseph. We thank thee for his testimony, how he prefigures the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. We pray that you'll help us to learn the lessons that are involved here today. Pray that the Spirit of God open our minds, have free course in our heart and lives, and bless us. We thank thee for our assembly. We pray for each one here and those that are not able to come. We thank thee that we can have this recorded, and we thank thee for the comments from time to time of those who even listen to the recordings. We pray that you'll use the Word of God now as it goes forth, both locally here and elsewhere, for thy glory. Bless us now, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we have the ongoing life of Joseph. Now, once again, let's begin by seeing an inspired commentary on this portion, and this is found in Psalm 105. So, Psalm 105 gives us an inspired summarization of this account. And as we look at this, we see certain truths in the past and additional ones, I think. But Psalm 105, beginning in verse 16, here is a summary of how the Lord worked in Israel's history. And in verse 16, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. So this is the Lord. So the Lord, as it were, called for a famine. All right? It's time for a famine. So he calls for one. Time for famine now. So he's calling one. And he brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. So here he sent Joseph. Well, I thought it was the brothers. His brothers threw him in prison, right? No, the Lord was behind this. The Lord sent him. See, here's a divine commentary. And now we're getting the rest of the story. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron, until the time that his word came. Now, what was his word? Well, his word was a word of dreams. Remember, he dreamed. Now, in the Old Testament, the Lord used dreams as special revelation, giving revelatory truth on a regular basis. Today, we've got the completed Bible. We don't look to dreams. We don't use dreams. We're not trying to find God's truth in dreams. But in those days, God used dreams. They didn't have a full Bible. Many people didn't have any written revelation, but God used dreams, he used visions, other things. So here we see, until the time his word came, but notice the next clause, the word of the Lord tried him. His word was the Lord, word of the Lord, basically. The dream was the word of the Lord, the dream revelation. And it tried him. Tried, or word behind tried, here's purified him. It helped him grow while he was in prison for 13 years, or thereabouts. He grew in the Word of God. What he had prophesied turned out to be God's revelation, and God proved him with that. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure. Notice he was over all the Egyptian princes. He could do what he wanted. And teach his senators wisdom. He had that opportunity to teach them divine wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt. I remember Israel is one of the names for Jacob. And Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. The land of Ham. Well, here we see Ham, Mitzrayim, the name for Egypt, was a son of Ham. So we have reference to the son of Ham. That's where the Egyptians lived. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. And he turned their heart to hate his people. So you see, there's the Lord's sovereignty. But the Lord in his sovereignty works through individuals as they play out their lives and play out their responsibilities or lack of responsibility. So the Lord is sovereign and he uses men who are faithful and he uses men who are unfaithful. Think of the unfaithful brothers. He used them. If these men would have been faithful at this point, then there'd been no Joseph in prison. But he uses the evil of mankind for his glory. At the same time, he uses faithful men. Now, this is not to say, well, be faithful or unfaithful, it doesn't really matter. God will use you. No, that's not the case at all. We want to be faithful to the Lord. But God, in his sovereignty, uses man to bring out his will. He accomplishes things. And if we want any rewards, we will be faithful, even among unfaithful people. We will be faithful to the Lord. So, we've got Psalm 105, gives us commentary on this section. Now, another consideration before we get started here is that Joseph began to test his brothers. And he lays out at least three tests in the way that he deals with his brothers. This test, he wanted to find out if Benjamin was alive. And so, if you're telling the truth, you bring him back. That's test number one. He might want to find out if he was alive. Later on, next time, we'll look at test number two. When he puts the silver back into their pack, their bags and so on. Because he wanted to test to see how they would respond to the providential working of God. How would they respond to the providential working of God? That's in verse 27, 28. And then later on, chapter 30, 43 rather, 43, when Benjamin does come and he shows favoritism towards Benjamin, giving him five times as much food, five messes of food, he wanted to find out what's their attitude now towards favored Benjamin. See, so he was testing them. And the Lord allowed him to test them. Here we see Joseph was an incredibly wise man. Now, that's not because that was innate in him, it's because he surrendered his life to the Lord, and the Lord gave him tremendous wisdom to deal with this. And his dealing with them was under the influence of the Spirit of God, and is recorded in the inspired scriptures here. All right, so we have that. And then we see parallels here because in this chapter, this parallels somewhat chapter 22. If you look quickly back there to chapter 22, we have Abraham. And Abraham, we're told in chapter 22, verse 1, Scripture says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He tempted, tested Abraham. And with Abraham, the test was, how's the father? What's the father going to do with the son? What's the father going to do with the son? All right, that was the test. And involved in this test happened to be the number 3 days. That comes out in this chapter as well. In this passage, it's what's the father going to do with the sons? There's another test. What's the father going to do with the sons? So we see some parallels between Abraham and Jacob and some other things that come out here as well. But let's now look at the passage. So we're here in chapter 42, 9 through 20, and I've divided this section here into two major segments. First of all, in 9 through 16, there's the charge. Joseph makes the charge. He makes the charge to his brothers. Now we notice here in verse 9 that the scripture says, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. All right, now the word remember here, what does this mean? Does this mean that let's see, it's going to be 22 years now. So remember, it's 2 years into the famine. So we know that from chapter 45. So for 22 years, he had amnesia. He didn't even know how he got there. How did I become second in command? I just don't remember anything. No, I think the word remember has to do with a refocusing. I think this is the idea in some context. It means to refocus on the whole scenario. I don't think he had amnesia for 22 years. Joseph remembered the dreams. They were always there. For instance, several years back, I was picking up something that had a glass on it, and I cut my inside of my arm right here. It took 7 stitches. So I got 7 stitches, ugly scar there in my arm, and so on. But I don't think about that every day. I don't think about that every day, but every once in a while, if I look at my arm without a shirt on or sleeve on it, I'll say, oh, yeah, I remember what happened. So I refocus on it. I haven't completely forgotten about it, but I don't wake up every day and say, I've got a scar on my arm. but I think this is what we have going on in here. Joseph remembered. We see in Psalm 119, the psalmist says in the Zion strophe, Psalm 119, verse 49, he challenges the Lord, as it were. Let's see, Psalm 119, about remembering. There in Psalm 119, verse 49, he says to the Lord, remember, same word that we have here, the word unto thy servant. And verse 52, he says, I remember thy judgments. And verse 55, I have remembered. So here I think the remembering here is the idea of refocusing. Obviously, the Lord doesn't have amnesia, but he's saying, remember the promise you made to me? I refocus on that because I'm refocusing. It's really coming from David's point of view. Nevertheless, we come back here. Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. So, he has this remembrance. Secondly, we see in verse 9 as well. He immediately charges them with being spies. Ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land. Ye are come. So his charge is really a ruse here. he knew who they were. He knew they weren't spies. But he charges them with this. It's a ruse. He's using this as he is going to try to find out other things. Remember, 22 years have passed. What's happened to my father? What's happened to Benjamin? What's going on with you? 22 years have come and gone. I want to find out some things. And he also had to be faithful to the revelation that he was given. In the revelatory dreams that I received, 2 dreams indicating my brother's going to bow to me, before me. So I want to be used of God to see this fulfilled. How can I do that? If I say right now, I'm your brother, they may not have bowed, you know, or we don't know what would happen. But he charges them here with being spies. And he, by the way, this expression, in these words, either your spies or see the nakedness of the land, occurs four times this passage. So he charges them four times. Your spies, or you come to see the nakedness of the land, trying to put pressure on them. See, he's putting pressure on them. Remember, Joseph is the one in the know, and the brothers are the ones who are not in the know. So Joseph knows why he's putting pressure on them. The brothers don't know why this man is putting pressures, but we who've read this, as well the reader, we know what's going on here. And in doing this, and four times saying you're spies, we've come to see the nakedness of the land, he's able to get some answers out of them. Because he wants to know what's going on. Because remember, these men are really not trustworthy. They're not trustworthy. The last time he met them, they wanted to kill him. So they're not trustworthy. So if he were to just say, I'm Joseph, tell me about the family. You know, they could have lied. Probably would have lied or something. I don't know. But anyway, he puts pressure on them. Now notice, next we see in verses 10 to 11, their retort. Here they respond. Nay, my Lord, they say, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. So here they begin to open up. They begin to volunteer some things. And so he wants them to open up. All right. So here's a very detailed inquisition as far as Joseph is concerned. And so immediately, in fact, the Hebrew language here shows this very much in a staccato-like form here, where it's boom, boom, boom. In other words, they're answering very quickly. But wait a minute, we're not spies. No, no, we're not spies. You know, they're being charged here. Now, maybe they were waiting in line, you see, as multitudes would be coming in. I'm just trying to fill this out a little bit. They might have been waiting in line, and the people in front of them, they come up. He says, okay, where are you from? We're from Canaan or here or there. Okay, here's give me the money. Here's the grain. Okay, next one, give me the money. Here's the grain. All right. But he comes to them and he immediately throws out, your spies. Yeah, that may have certainly it did concern them. So that may have been part of the background here. But they say, we're one man's sons. We are true men, in the sense of this unusual way this word is translated. It's kind of we're thus and so men. In other words, we're thus and so. We say this, we do it. We're thus and so. That's literally what this means. Not the basic word for truth here, but he says we are true men. So it's a somewhat of a an expression that leaves itself for interpretation. What do you mean, true men? I mean, it's not a strong declaration. But that's what they say. And then they negate his claim, we are no spies. But notice his resistance then, in verses 12 through 14. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. So he's challenging them, putting pressure on them. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren. All right, now he's getting more detail out of them. So he's put more resistance. They're volunteering more. See, they've got to defend themselves. Wait a minute, we've got to bring in more of the picture now, why we're true men, why we're really here. And so we've got to reach back and bring in some extra details. So thy servants are 12 brethren, and the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. They're talking about Joseph. They even have to include Joseph in here now. And they're talking to Joseph. They see he's putting pressure on them. He's resisting their claim that they're true men and not spies. And in doing that, he's bringing out more detail. Give me more detail. And they're volunteering it. I mean, they've got to. Now they're finally telling the truth. After a long time, they're finally telling the truth. They're telling the truth. They're saying, we've got one father. There's 12 of us. One of them's with the Father, and one of them is not. We don't know why that happened. He's gone. He's not. So now they're forced to tell the truth. And so we see the purpose of his resistance here. One is not. That's interesting because that's open interpretation as well. Okay, well, he's not. What's that mean? Well, he's just not. We don't know. He's just not. So they are starting to open up here. And so then, finally, in verse 15 and 16, we see the requirement that he puts forth. Well, 14, he says, "That is it, what I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies." So he forcing them again for a third time, he calls them spies. And then he says, verse 15 and 16, gives the requirement, "Hereby ye shall be proved." So now he's going to prove them. "By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies." Now, first of all, notice the life of Pharaoh is expressed there twice, beginning and ending of this little portion here. So, what Joseph was doing was he was recognizing human government. Recognizing human government. Human government, we believe, was first established by God in Genesis chapter 9 when he required bloodshed. He required capital punishment. Man taking a man's life, capital punishment. So that really requires a government, a governmental concept there, capital punishment and so on. And Romans chapter 13. So here he's honoring human government, even pagan human government. He's in a pagan land. And so he says, by the life of Pharaoh, I mean, Pharaoh's in command. But Pharaoh has given him all power to do whatever he wants. But he's honoring the human government in which he found himself. All right, so remember, Joseph was in Egypt. And he was in the Egyptian world, but he was still Joseph the believer. He was still Joseph the Hebrew. All right. Next we see that he wants to prove them. And so he's indicating, bring your young brother up or down. Bring your brother here. And so now what would that prove? Well, that would prove they were telling the truth. But it also would fit in somewhat to the scenario here because if Jacob really was sending his sons to be spies, he would be foolish to send all his sons on a dangerous mission in case they all got killed, so he'd keep one back. So there is a legitimacy to this. Both on Jacob's part, but we know really Jacob's heart there. He had favoritism. But then, as well, Joseph is indicating, all right, you bring your brother. So he wants to know, is his younger brother Benjamin alive? And then he goes on to say, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. And of course, in the context there, we see the next verse or two, they'd be killed as spies if they weren't. So here he wants to prove them. And so we see, first of all, the charge, the charge level against them. But secondly, we see the challenge. The challenge is the test at hand. He challenges them. And so as we look here, first of all, in the challenge, verse 17, there's a retribution. And he put them all together in the ward 3 days. So now, they're the ones in prison. They're the ones in the pit. Remember the last time we saw them dealing with him, back there in chapter 37, they threw him in the pit, verse 24, 37, 24. And they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So he was thrown in that pit, left to die. No water in it. He puts them in prison. All right, turn about. Now it's time for turnabout. I wonder if there's any water in the prison. I'm sure there was. His intent wasn't to kill them. But a little bit of retribution here. I'm going to put you in the prison. Put you in the ward for a while. And leave you there. He leaves them there for 3 days. So I think this parallels somewhat of the Abrahamic testing, because we have a focus on 3 days there. 3 days here. And so he puts them there in the ward. And then, verse 18, Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. Now, in the midst of this, he changes his mind. So he puts them in the ward for 3 days, and then he changes his mind. See, he's paralleling exactly what they did. What'd they do? They threw him in the pit, and they changed their mind. Here comes some of the Ishmaelites. Let's sell them to him, them. So he treats them just like they treated him. So there's some retribution here. There's a parallel here. Now, he wasn't after vengeance, but he was trying to challenge them. Let them see the severity. I want Benjamin here. I want this to be a real experience for you. I want you to realize the seriousness of the situation here and the seriousness of what needs to be done. So, now, notice in verse 18, it says, this do and live, for I fear God. It says, I fear God. I fear Elohim. Now, this wasn't a term that the Egyptians used. Notice here, he doesn't say, I fear Pharaoh. By the way, Pharaoh was a deity. But he's not referring to Pharaoh. He's referring to the true God. I fear God. So he's, I think he may be hinting, I fear Elohim. now, let's look back here to Genesis 20, verse 11. Back in 20, verse 11, Abraham says to Abimelech, now remember, Abimelech received a dream that he was about ready to die unless he let loose Sarah. And Abraham says in 20 verse 11, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, they will slay me for my wife's sake. So as he went there to Gerar, he didn't think the fear of the true God was there. So he thought he'd be killed for his wife rather than for his sister, as it were. And yet here, Joseph is indicating that there is someone greater than Pharaoh. I fear God. And what he's trying to do is bring out a God consciousness on their part. Remember, they were Jehovah worshipers. They knew about Jehovah and so on. So he indicates this. This may have been a hint. It may have demonstrated his compassion. I'm only putting them there for 3 days. In the flesh, I'd like to have a longer time of vengeance on them. But I'm not. 3 days. By the way, their families were starving. There's only so long he could leave them in prison. You really need to get back your families. Because if you look there, approximately where they may have been to going to On, where or Heliopolis, may have been anywhere up to a 7 day journey. They've been a couple hundred miles journey. And so they needed to get back to their family with the grain. So he reduces it 3 days. So there's the retribution of the ten. And then finally, we see the realization of the one, verses 19 and 20. He says, if you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. So remember, these were adult men who had homes, and their houses or homes had wives and children and so on, and they were hungry. Oh, he wants them to get back there. And we see his compassion on them. But bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. So here he wants the Benjamin back. He wants to prove whether they're true men. And whether they would return with Benjamin. So now the focus is on Benjamin. Remember, Benjamin is the preferred son. So now the preferred son is going to spare their lives. And we'll find out next week, but who is it that is thrown into prison? It's Simeon. Who was Simeon? Simeon was the cruelest of all the brothers. He's the one who led Levi to kill the Shechemites because of the rape of Diana. And so they put in the fiercest of the brothers. And by the way, they don't come back for him until they run out of food. So here we see some retribution on Simeon as well. So you see how Joseph is orchestrating all this. He's dealing with everyone. Oh, he loves his family. He loves his father. He loves Benjamin. He loves his brothers here. He loves even Simeon. And yet, he's testing them. I mean, he could have said right at this point when they came, I'm Joseph, all is forgiven, and so on, and that would not have helped anybody. They needed to be tested. And they need to demonstrate in the test the reality of how they were growing in this experience. They need to demonstrate it by actions. And so we see the charge, they were spies, and the challenge, go get Benjamin and bring him back. And so here we find the brilliant wisdom of Joseph, really the wisdom of God working through a wise man, Joseph, to bring about the accomplishment of what the Lord only wants to do. Remember our passage we looked at last time when it came time for Jacob to leave and go into Egypt. The Lord tells him there in chapter 46, verse 3, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. So here, in order for this to be accomplished, Joseph had to be used of the Lord to try to deal with his family in such a strong way. We see how the Lord was working all this out in the providential working of God. And the Lord was behind us, but he was using submissive Joseph to have this accomplished. And so we can learn this from this as well, that the Lord is working through human elements to bring about his will. And his will is always to bring good to his people. As hard of valleys and dark as days that they have to go through, it's always for their good. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come to thee in Jesus' name. We thank thee for the life of Joseph, how you've so led him, and then you allowed Moses to record this in the book of Genesis for our benefit. We thank that we can learn from this. Pray that you will help us to learn and learn the lessons in the difficulties of life, that we may be better and not bitter as we go through the situations that you have for us. We pray that you bless each one now. Bless our church, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.